And now for our final discourse this morning, Brother Emmanuel Svoboda, and his topic is Memorial Riddles, Part 3, I think, Emmanuel, or something? 2B, Part 2B, Memorial Riddles. Thanks, Emmanuel.
Good morning, brethren. This Memorial Riddles Part 2B is also the conclusion to the series on issues related to the chronology of the memorial, and I have stuck pretty much to this topic. I have not addressed other issues such as the importance of keeping it in the right spirit, how accurately we should keep it, so I have addressed this issue specifically in terms of the chronology. In Memorial Riddles 1, we considered the timing issues of the Passover sacrifice and the subsequent Passover meal as instituted in Egypt by Moses according to God's instructions. Here we found, firstly, the Passover dates were based on sunset reckoned days. That is, the day started and ended at sunset. Secondly, the evening in the phrase evening of the 14th day referred to the evening at the end of the sunset determined 14th day and not the evening at the beginning. The proper understanding of the use of this phrase in relation to the Passover is important because it clarifies the timing of the events of the Passover. Thirdly, the Passover sacrifice was killed on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan prior to sunset, as the sun was going down. Fourthly, the Passover meal was eaten after sunset, at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. This sunset also marked the beginning of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Fifthly, the Feast of Unleavened Bread ran for 7 days. In Memorial Riddles 2A, we noted that we could not simply assume that the timing of the Old Testament Passover events was the same in New Testament times, which was when Jesus instituted the memorial on the night in which he was betrayed. Having examined the New Testament evidence, we found that there was good scriptural evidence that sunset reckoning was also being used in New Testament times, particularly insofar as the religious calendar was concerned, thus allowing a general translation of the Egyptian Passover events into the New Testament context. We did, however, note an important exception to the straightforward translation into the New Testament context in relation to the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is referred to in a number of New Testament scriptures as the day on which the Passover was sacrificed, identifying it with the 14th of Nisan rather than the 15th. This deviation from the divinely prescribed timing of the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread appears to have occurred as the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread came to be seen as one and the same festival, so that the 14th of Nisan, the day on which the Passover sacrifice was killed, was now called the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This led to an 8-day feast whenever the Passover was included with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the prevailing view, and a 7-day feast whenever the Passover was excluded. This New Testament 8-day Passover inclusive Feast of Unleavened Bread has led to confusion concerning the length of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it is at variance with the strict scriptural 7-day length as prescribed by God at the first Passover. This alteration has consequently introduced some confusion in relation to the background New Testament Passover events. The importance of being aware of the shift becomes clear when it is noted that it was at the start of this altered first day of unleavened bread that the events leading up to the Last Supper began, and it was at the Last Supper that our Lord instituted the memorial. The start of these events, therefore, fell at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan rather than the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. With the clear chronological framework of the original Passover events and they're a relatively straightforward translation into the New Testament context, with the exception of the first day of unleavened bread issue being noted, one would think that the actual events of the Last Supper would be uncontroversial. In reality, this is not the case. Today we will look at the main issues surrounding the timing of the Last Supper, and hence the memorial. An opinion will be given as to where the weight of the evidence lies. As noted previously, it is at this important time point, the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread, that the disciples were sent by Jesus to prepare the Passover. We notice first that in Luke's account, the date indicated for the beginning of these events was the 14th of Nisan, when the Passover sacrifice is killed. At this day is the 14th of Nisan, is confirmed by the use of the Greek word dei, here translated in King James Version as must. Must is a good translation, since dei does carry the thought of necessity. This underscores the importance of the proper timing of the killing of the Passover sacrifice, which could only have been carried out in the temple by the priests on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. We remember that unlike the original Egyptian Passover, according to which each household killed its own Passover sacrifice, subsequent Passover sacrifices could only be sacrificed at the temple, or in the words of Deuteronomy, at God's chosen habitation for his name. This is important to take note of because it appears to remove the possibility that other proposed calendars were being used to keep the Passover at a different time to that of the officially prescribed time. The priests who controlled the temple could not have sacrificed the Passover at a different time to that of the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, as the sun was going down, according to Deuteronomy 6:6. And we saw that the strictly controlled time for the killing of the Passover sacrifice was confirmed by Josephus to have occurred on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, specifically between 3 and 5 p.m. our time. The time the Passover sacrifices were being killed in the temple at the end of the 14th of Nisan was therefore almost 24 hours after the beginning of the sunset reckoned 14th of Nisan. How is it then that Jesus and his disciples ate a Passover meal almost 24 hours before the Passover sacrifices could be killed in the temple by the priests? This constitutes our first riddle today. Logically, it seems impossible that a Passover could be kept before the Passover sacrifice was allowed to be killed. So the direct answer to this riddle is straightforward. But how do we reconcile these seemingly contradictory strings of scriptural evidence, and therefore what is the deeper answer to this riddle? There appear to be two possible ways that these seemingly contradictory strings of scriptural evidence can be reconciled. Either the Last Supper was a Passover meal, if the Last Supper was not a Passover meal, or the Last Supper was a Passover meal, and that it was kept at the normal Jewish Passover meal time at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan rather than the beginning of the 14th. Let us consider the first possibility, that the Last Supper was not a Passover meal now. We have already seen that Jesus earnestly desired to eat the Passover with his disciples, and in fact directed Peter and John to make the preparation. Then in Luke 22 verse 14 we read, "When the hour was come, they sat down." This certainly seems that the hour mentioned is a reference to the hour of the Passover meal that they had prepared. If this meal was a Passover meal, then it does seem clear that this must have taken place at the usual time at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan, after the 14th of Nisan ended at sunset. Logically and clearly, this must have occurred after the Passover sacrifices were killed at the temple on the afternoon of the 14th. We have, however, noted that a definitive statement that they sat down for the Passover meal is absent in all accounts. Moreover, this meal is referred to as an evening meal or supper. The Greek word translated supper, deipnon, is never used elsewhere in the scriptures in association with the Passover meal. And in fact, in John 13 verses 1 and 2, suggests that it was a meal separate to and which occurred before the Passover feast, which would include the Passover meal. Moreover, there is no reference in any of the accounts to the Passover lamb or to any of the other elements of the Passover meal. Although it should be noted that one cannot logically establish something on the basis of a lack of evidence to the contrary. At best, we can say that the Luke account gives an impression that Jesus and the disciples were sitting down to the Passover meal. Interestingly, the other accounts do not give the same impression. Matthew and Mark give the impression that they were just sitting down for the evening meal, after they had made the preparations for the Passover, and we have noted previously that the matter-of-fact nature of Luke's account in relation to sitting down for a meal after the preparations can also be understood if the time of the sitting down was actually on the evening of the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, because it would have been clear and obvious that the Passover meal could occur only at the beginning of the 15th, some 24 hours from thence. Another possibility is that they were actually sitting down for the Passover, but the Passover in the wider sense, as used above in Luke 22 verse 1. We have already noted that the Passover had been incorporated into the Feast of Unleavened Bread and ran for 8 days beginning on the 14th of Nisan. So they may have been sitting down for an evening meal at the beginning of the Passover feast in this wider sense, but not necessarily for the actual Passover meal, which would have been still some 24 hours away. Of course, this would fit with the Passover sacrifices being killed on the afternoon of the 14th, some 19 hours later. However, John 13 verses 1 and 2 strongly suggest that this supper or evening meal was before the Passover feast, which is probably a reference to the Passover in this wider sense. Even though the Passover was used in this wider sense, the scriptures never use Passover in a restricted sense to refer to the Chagiga voluntary festive sacrifice offered on the day after the Passover meal, as some have suggested, and we will come back to the significance of this in due course. Overall, it seems that the issue as to whether the Last Supper was a Passover meal cannot be decisively decided purely on the basis of the Gospel accounts of the meal itself, and we will need to look to other scriptures to do so. We have seen that the events leading up to the Last Supper did indeed begin when the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread came, which marked the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, as noted, because of the incorporation of the 14th into the feast. If sunset reckoning was being used, and this does appear to be the case, particularly in regards to the religious calendar, then these events are placed squarely on the evening of the 13th of Nisan, which marked the beginning of the 14th of Nisan. Reading through the Gospel accounts, one could suggest that there was not enough time for Peter and John to make the arrangements in the city, in time for Jesus and the disciples to come and sit down for the evening meal that same evening. If the 14th of Nisan had begun then, it was after 6 p.m. At the end of the 13th, and the daylight must have been fading quickly. It is also possible that the meaning of the coming of the first day of unleavened bread was based on the common 12-hour day reckoning which the common people, particularly Galileans, used. Jesus and his disciples were, of course, from Galilee. If these events began on the morning of the 14th of Nisan, then it would be beyond doubt that there would be ample time for the arrangements to be made in clear daylight, in time for them to gather that evening for the Passover meal. Of course, this would indicate that the meal was being held on the evening of the 14th, which would be the beginning of the 15th, when the normal Passover meal was being eaten by the Jews in general. Moreover, some of the accounts say that they sat down that evening after Peter and John had gone into the city, found the man in whose guest chamber they would eat the meal, and made preparations. If this all started after 6 p.m, it would have already been evening, seemingly indicating the same time. We have, however, noted previously that the Greek word opsios, here translated evening, can mean any time from 3 to 6 p.m., 6 p.m. tonight, or even late evening. These possible Latin meanings would allow for the number of hours that appear to have been needed for the preparations to have been made, and for Jesus and the disciples to gather together on the same evening. Also, the fact that divine assistance was provided, as indicated by Jesus' instructions concerning the appointed man's guest chamber, would have probably expedited the preparations. Lastly, given that the reference to the first day of unleavened bread is provided by the writer of the Gospel account, rather than a quotation ascribed to Jesus or one of the disciples involved, and that it is a clear reference to an important day of the Jewish religious calendar, it appears to be much more likely that the official sunset reckoning was being used, suggesting that the preparations and the meal did occur on the evening of the 13th of Nisan, i.e. at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan. Other scriptural evidence does suggest strongly that Jesus' arraignment occurred before the official Passover meal. This appears to remove the second possibility, namely that the Last Supper was a normal Passover meal held at the normal time. This means that the Last Supper must have occurred prior to this, during the late evening night before, because Jesus instituted the memorial on the night that he was betrayed and taken into custody. The Jewish leaders wanted to avoid becoming defiled by entering into a Gentile building so that they might eat the Passover, which therefore must have still been a future event. This suggests that the Last Supper occurred on the evening of the night of his betrayal, which necessarily must have taken place before the usual Passover meal. Some have raised objections to this by showing that ceremonial uncleanness would only have lasted till sundown, and thus not pose a problem in the keeping of the Passover meal. The same suggests that in John 18:28, eating the Passover is a reference to the eating of the Chagiga voluntary festival sacrifice on the day following the Passover meal, which the Jewish leaders would not have been able to eat if they had entered into the praetorium on the same morning. Eating the Passover, it is suggested, really means here continuing to eat the Passover, with Passover used in the wider sense of meaning of the whole festival. There are, however, a number of problems with this argument, not the least of which is that we do not know the exact defilements and their consequences operating at this time. The earliest recordings concerning these in the Mishnah occurred some centuries later. The Mishnah is the codification of the oral traditions that had been developing for centuries, and the earliest recording of this legislation was published in around 200 AD. Moreover, these laws applied directly to the Beth Din, the second and third century law court, which did not always do things the same way the Sanhedrin had done. Also, the Mishnah reflected Pharisaic Judaism, which was frequently different to the way the Sadducees did things, and it was the Sadducees that held sway in the Sanhedrin and also officiated in the temple in Jesus' day. We note that already in Jesus' day it was unlawful for Jews to associate with Gentiles, something that was never stipulated in the Torah or other Old Testament writings. So it is not possible to be sure about the exact reason for the defilement or its exact consequences. Also, others have suggested that the defilement was not one that simply ended at sundown. There was a belief that Gentile dwellings were unclean because Gentiles buried their aborted fetuses in their houses or washed them down their drains. And we find the former stated in Ahavlof, chapter 18 of the Talmud. Danby notes that this was because of the heathen practice of burying abortions in their houses. This type of defilement would have continued for 7 days, rather than finishing at sundown. Moreover, even the one-day ceremonial defilement would have caused major problems for those Jewish leaders involved in public functions. There is also a problem in suggesting that eat the Passover is a reference to the Chagiga festival sacrifice, either specifically or indirectly through the sense of continuing to eat the Passover. Whilst it is true the scriptures do use the term Passover to mean the whole festival, the reference is to eating the Passover and not just Passover. The scriptures do not talk about eating the Passover feast, or the eating of any feast for that matter. Rather, we see in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8, the instructions are to keep the feast. And certainly there is no precedent for a restrictive use of Passover in the scriptures to refer to the Chagigah festival sacrifice only. Even though the Chagigah voluntary sacrifice may be included when Passover is used to mean the whole festival, it is unwarranted to suggest that from this it can refer to it only and specifically in this restrictive sense. Moreover, we have already seen that the use of the phrase "eat the Passover" by the disciples' questioning of Jesus is used in reference to preparations for the Passover meal itself. Certainly there is no suggestion given that the Chagigah festival sacrifice is meant specifically, or the feast in the wider and inclusive sense, for we see that when Judas left the gathering, it was thought by some that he was going to buy things needful for the feast. This was after they had made preparations to eat the Passover, suggesting that this was separate to the feast, the latter being a reference to the feast of unleavened bread in a strict sense. There's also a problem in the suggestion that eating the Passover referred to the Chagigah festival sacrifice indirectly, in the sense of continuing to eat the Passover. The Greek verb tenses are different to our English verb tenses. English verb tenses emphasize time. The Greek verb tenses emphasize the type of action. For example, the aorist tense is characterized by its emphasis on punctilia action. For an action that continues or is occurring in actual time, the present tense is usually used. The tense here in the verb eat is an aorist tense, suggesting that the potential future event, here indicated by the subjunctive mood, is a punctilia action and not occurring in actual time, as the meaning of continuing to eat the Passover would appear to require. Another verse suggesting that the Last Supper was held before the Jews ate the Passover meal is found in John 13 verse 1. The interchange between Jesus and Judas identifies this as the Last Supper, as does Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. We note here that the Last Supper is held before the Feast of the Passover. It is very unlikely that this reference to the Feast of Passover means only the Feast of Unleavened Bread without including the Passover meal itself. Here in Luke 2:41, we are told that Jesus' parents were accustomed to going to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. It would seem again to be very unlikely that this refers only to the strict Feast of Unleavened Bread without including the Passover meal. We also see in Ezekiel 45 verse 21 that the Passover meal was included in the feast, because the Passover meal was held on the evening of the 14th of Nisan after sunset, when the 15th began, the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For the reasons above, it seems then that the objections to the straightforward reading of John 18:28 are unwarranted and not based in Scripture. As indicated in the verse, the Passover meal for the Jews appears to have still been a future event when Jesus was before Pilate. This would be consistent with the preparation of the room for the Passover meal by the disciples, and sitting down for the Last Supper occurring at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, i.e. during the evening of the 13th of Nisan. We also know that it was early morning when Jesus was led to the palace of the governor. If therefore Jesus was betrayed on the same night of the Last Supper when he instituted the memorial, then this morning would appear to be the morning of the 14th of Nisan, for there is only one morning between the beginning of the 14th and the beginning of the 15th. That Jesus was before Pilate on the day before the Passover meal, indicating again that the Last Supper must have occurred almost 24 hours before the Jews ate the Passover meal, appears to be confirmed by John 19 verse 14, where this day is referred to as the preparation of the Passover, apparently a reference to the day before the Passover meal. However, closer analysis suggests that the preparation was in fact a term for the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, and therefore the preparation here probably means the day before the weekly Sabbath, during the Passover feast, rather than the day before the Passover meal. That Jesus died late on the afternoon of Friday, the day before the weekly Sabbath, does seem clear. Joseph of Arimathea came and took down Jesus' body just before the Sabbath was to begin. We note that the preparation is correctly identified with the day before the weekly Sabbath here. Jesus appears to have died about the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. our reckoning. We note that this would have been the same time that the Passover sacrifices were being killed. That Jesus died on Friday is confirmed in John 19 verse 31, where we are told that the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross into the Sabbath, again identifying the day of Jesus' death as the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, i.e. Friday. Therefore it seems that Jesus died late on the 14th of Nisan, which was a Friday, the day before the weekly Sabbath, at about the same time that the Passover sacrifices were being killed, and importantly before the normal Passover meal. If Jesus then died about the same time as the Passover sacrifices were being killed in the temple on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, under the control of the Sadducean temple priests, then it seems very unlikely that the Last Supper, which was held almost 24 hours before, could have been a Passover meal. If the Last Supper was not a Passover meal, then the second possible explanation to our first riddle appears to be excluded. Additional scriptural evidence supporting the view that the Last Supper was not a Passover meal is provided in Luke 22 verse 16. In a number of our common versions, the impression is given that Jesus ate the Passover meal and that he would not do so again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom. This translation, and above is an example from the NIV, is supported by the Codex Bezae, the Washington Codex, certain minuscules and Syriac versions, and the Koine text. The best manuscript evidence, however, which includes the Vatican 1209, Sinaitic, Alexandrian, and Ephraim codices, as well as some minuscules and Egyptian versions, strongly favours the translation above from the NASB, which gives the impression that Jesus did not in fact eat the Passover. This rendering suggests that even though Jesus strongly desired to eat the Passover with his disciples, he was unable to do so, possibly because he knew that he would be dying on the cross when the typical Passover sacrifices were being killed, necessarily before the Passover meal. In John 19 verse 31, the day after Jesus died, we are told, was not a normal weekly Sabbath. It was termed a high day, translated a special Sabbath in some versions. Much has been suggested about what this high day Sabbath really was, and this constitutes our second riddle, the significance of which will hopefully become evident further on. This is the only verse in the scriptures which use the two Greek words megale hemera, translated literally as high day, so we cannot use other exact instances of these two Greek words in the scriptures to clarify the meaning. We have noted from the foregoing that if Jesus did indeed die on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, and that this was a Friday, then the next day, the weekly Sabbath, would be the 15th of Nisan. And we have already found that the 15th of Nisan is not only the day on the beginning of which the Passover meal was eaten, but also the true, divinely appointed first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As mentioned, by New Testament times, the Jews had incorporated the 14th of Nisan, on which the Passover sacrifice was killed, into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This means that they now incorrectly, in the strict sense, called the 14th of Nisan the first day of Unleavened Bread. This is important to take note of, because it was on the divinely appointed first and seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that a holy convocation was determined. These were holy days on which no work was permissible. The first of these holy convocations therefore fell on the day of the 15th of Nisan. This means that the weekly Sabbath not only included the Passover meal, but also fell on this holy convocation, which was also considered a Sabbath, because it was a day of rest. This would certainly make it a special Sabbath, But is this really what is meant by a high day Sabbath? Others have suggested that the Sabbath could have been considered a high day Sabbath if it had fallen on the following day, that is the 16th of Nisan, when a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest was waved before the Lord. This would also, it would seem, make it a special Sabbath, although we note there is no scriptural evidence that this is what the high day Sabbath means. If one had to choose between the two dates, the Sabbath falling on the 15th does seem more significant. Here, two simultaneous Sabbaths would include Passover Eve. Interestingly, even though there is no other instance of the use of Megillah Hemera, there is an instance of its use in John 7:37, where even though the word for day, Hemera, is not used, it is undoubtedly implied. This verse appears to give us a vital clue as to the real meaning of this high day Sabbath. It reads, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Here in the King James Version, day is in italics because, as mentioned, it is not in the original Greek text. The context here is the Feast of Tabernacles. The significance of the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles is that it was also a day on which the people were called together, a holy convocation on which no work was to be performed, and hence a Sabbath. Even though John 7:37, Megillah, is translated great, it is the same Greek word translated high in our high day Sabbath in John 19:31, with the day strongly implied. For all intents and purposes, therefore, this is the same designation, and in John 7:37, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles is called a great day or high day because it was a holy convocation on which no work was permissible. Therefore, applying this important clue to our second riddle of which was the high day, the 15th or 16th of Nisan, we only need to identify on which of these was a holy convocation. And this has already been identified as the 15th of Nisan. It was the 15th of Nisan on which the holy convocation was called, bearing in mind that this was a true divinely appointed first day of unleavened bread. This therefore tells us the significance of the high day Sabbath. Moreover, it underscores the importance of correctly identifying the 15th of Nisan as the real first day of unleavened bread on which the first holy convocation fell. The answer to our second riddle, what was the high day Sabbath in the context of the Passover, appears to be, therefore, a coinciding of the weekly Sabbath and the 15th of Nisan, the true first day of unleavened bread on which a holy convocation was appointed. The answer to this riddle solidifies the understanding that the Last Supper plus memorial and betrayal occurred at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, a Friday, in the evening and night, followed by Jesus' crucifixion during the afternoon of the same 24-hour day, and importantly before the Passover meal kept by the Jews after sunset at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. We have already alluded to two types, outlined by the Apostle Paul in regards to Jesus as a sacrifice Passover and his resurrection as the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. Even though we have not used these as direct evidence, the inherent lessons confirm and consolidate our understanding of the timing of the events surrounding our Lord's death and resurrection. We all understand and appreciate that even though Jesus fulfilled many types, his death and resurrection did occur in a typical setting, i.e. the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the reason we hold the memorial in close association with the Jewish Passover after all. Jesus was very careful about the timing of his death. That Jesus, as an antitype, died in a close association with a typical general Passover setting suggests that the inherent Passover types and their timing is also important in relation to his death and resurrection and can give us important lessons and information. We have already noted that in the type, a sheaf of the first fruits was to be waved before the Lord, by the priest on the day after the Sabbath holy convocation. The first holy convocation fell on the true first day of unleavened bread, which was the 15th of Nisan, our high day Sabbath, because the weekly Sabbath, i.e. Saturday, coincided with this holy convocation Sabbath. Therefore the day after this was the 16th of Nisan, a Sunday, the first day of the week. If Jesus' resurrection was the antitypical fulfillment of the waving of the first fruits, as the Apostle Paul's statement suggests, then we would expect Jesus to have been raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And indeed we find that this was in fact the case. It was on the first day of the week, the day after the weekly Sabbath, a Sunday in our nomenclature, that our Saviour rose from the dead. Moreover, we know that Jesus was raised on the third day after his death, and we have already noted previously that 3 days and its equivalents meant parts of 3 days according to the Hebrew and Aramaic practice of counting a part of the day as a whole day and night. If we then count back these parts of 3 days from the 16th of Nisan, then Jesus must have died on the 14th of Nisan, which does fit with the suggested testimony of Scripture that he died on the afternoon of the 14th when the typical Passover sacrifices were being killed. Jesus' death on the afternoon of the 14th would be a powerful basis for Paul to preach and contend effectively that Jesus was indeed the antitypical sacrifice Passover. If Jesus had died on the 15th of Nisan, then his death and resurrection would not coincide with the timing of the typical Passover events of the killing of the Passover sacrifice and the waving of the sheaf of the first fruits. This would seem to undermine, at least to some extent, the lessons and significance of Jesus' death in relation to the Passover events. Or in other words, why would Jesus show the importance of his death in relation to the Passover and yet not coincide with its inherent types? Blessedly, Paul's testimony along with the scriptural evidence suggests otherwise. In conclusion, it seems therefore that firstly the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, the day on which the Passover must be killed, appears to be an important time signpost, marking the beginning of the events leading up to Jesus' death on the afternoon of the same 24-hour day. Secondly, the Last Supper appears not to have been a Passover meal, since it appears to have been held some 24 hours before the Passover meal was eaten by the Jews. Thirdly, the significance of the High Day Sabbath, the day following Jesus' death, appears to lie in the coincidence of the weekly Sabbath with the Holy Convocation on the 15th of Nisan. Importantly, this relies on the recognition that the 15th of Nisan was a true, divinely appointed first day of unleavened bread. And fourthly, Jesus' death on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, when the Passover sacrifices were being killed, and his resurrection on the third day, the 16th of Nisan, when the sheaf of the first fruits were being waved before the priest, gives strong credence and weight to Jesus being the antitypical sacrifice Passover and his resurrection as a antitypical first fruits of those that slept. The weight of scriptural evidence and testimony therefore appears to favour Jesus having died on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, a few hours before the Jews in general ate the Passover meal. The memorial which was instituted at the Last Supper the night before on the evening of the 13th of Nisan and marks the beginning of the sunset reckoned 14th of Nisan would therefore appear to be the most appropriate time to hold the memorial, assuming that Jesus wanted us to do this in remembrance of him when he instituted it. The context would suggest that the memorial be kept at this time, and by this we mean that this was when the first memorial was kept. Also, it was the last time that they would be all together with Jesus and therefore remember him in the context of the first memorial. We have noted that being together was important for Jesus, for he eagerly desired to keep this Passover with them before he suffered. In considering each important issue, we have seen that there are some uncertainties, and therefore one cannot be dogmatic about the conclusions. However, considering the main issues and looking at the totality of the evidence, the conclusions do appear to be justified. Even though an opinion has been given as to where the weight of the scriptural evidence lies, in the end, it is up to each of us as individual Christians seeking to make the will of God clear with our measure of the Holy Spirit and making the truth our own to weigh up the evidence. And of course, there are important questions concerning how important is it to keep the memorial at the most accurate time, and how does this compare to the importance of keeping the memorial in the right spirit? These and related questions are beyond the scope of this discourse. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Emmanuel has chosen a hymn number 437 to conclude his thoughts. I am very much aware that we are over time. May I suggest, though, that I'll read the first verse of the hymn, we'll sing the rest, then there'll be a brief prayer from Brother Richard Tazzyman, and then can I suggest that as many as possible up there can go and help set the table, because we... At the prayer, why don't we all sing Grace here, and then we can move straight into the dining room and start the meal immediately. And Grace said, help yourself or serve yourself today. So, Mother Richard, thank you.
Our dear loving and heavenly kind Father, we certainly thank you for this morning's program, Father, the spiritual food that you provide for us, and we do appreciate the time and effort that the brothers have put into this. Father, we enjoy meeting together. We know it's a commandment of yours that we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves, and we certainly enjoy the spiritual association with each other. So now, Father, we ask also for a blessing of your spirit to be on the brothers this afternoon, and also, Father, we thank you again for these wonderful provisions, and we ask this in the name of your dear Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have grace. You sing grace. You present our table, Lord. Lunchtime.